Hello and welcome to the commentary for lesson 282. This is for 1 Kings chapter 9. It mirrors 2 Chronicles chapter 7. There is a little bit of difference there that I will point out in a little bit, but this really is kind of a hodgepodge. But first and foremost, the Lord responds to Solomon in reaction to the dedication of the temple. And the Lord is pleased with the temple, but his response comes, my study Bible points out that it comes months, maybe even years, since the dedication of the temple happened. So sometimes that should be a reminder to us that sometimes the Lord will respond to our prayers, but we get impatient and we expect an immediate response. And God will respond, but he will respond at his perfect time. And unfortunately for us, it's fortunate for us. We just don't understand that. But it's never when we'd like it, which is immediate because we're so impatient. And it says in this 1 Kings chapter 9, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had done before at Gibeon." So the first time, if you remember, that the Lord appeared to Gibeon, it was in a dream, and that was in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. And it was when he, I'll just read it to you. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. "That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, 'What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you.'" Okay, so you remember that? And Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around." So David, remember, asked for wisdom from God. He asked for an understanding heart to govern the people and to know the difference between right and wrong. So he wanted the Lord's help. He didn't expect to be able to do it on his own. So the Lord was pleased with his answer. And of course he said, because you answered with that and you didn't ask for material wealth, I'll give you the desire of your heart plus material wealth. You will be very successful. And you will have more wealth than any king before you. So the Lord was pleased. So anyways, I wanted to remind you of the first time that God had appeared and spoken to Solomon. But here he does it again. And this time he says, "I have heard your prayer and your petition. I have set this temple apart to be holy, this place you have built where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." But then it goes into all the warnings, and it's really, if you follow me with integrity and godliness, as David your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty over Israel forever. So he continues the promise, of course. He repeats the promise that he has for David and Solomon and the descendants of David, and then starts with the warning, "But if you or your descendants abandon me," and all of the things that God will do in response to their separating from him. He will make Israel an object of mockery, ridicule among the nations, and though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads in amazement. They will ask, "Why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple?" And the answer will be, "Because his people abandoned the Lord, their God." And, you know, I think back to this temple and I think, you know, if God says at the beginning of this chapter, "I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." It was dear to his heart. However, we still had, God's people still had to fulfill their part. And that was to obey the decrees and the commands that God gave them. And because that temple no longer exists, it was destroyed by the Babylonians, then we can assume that that is what happened, that the people abandoned the Lord. We will read, obviously, more about that as we go, but I'm sure that God did not give that warning lightly. He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. So, of course, he wanted to set the tone and set the stage and let them know without any confusion what would happen. Second Chronicles 7. It was kind of confusing because it kept going from 1 Kings 9 to 2 Chronicles and back and forth and back and forth. And some of the 2 Chronicles that actually pulled from material from before 1 Kings chapter 9. So it was a little choppy. I had a little trouble following it. But for the most part, what I can tell is what is different or added to the Chronicles account, it seems that they expanded upon God's response to Solomon. I don't know that that's a good idea to do that. I don't know why they did that. But it adds something that God had said before that writing, and I think in chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, and it was also written back in 2 Chronicles 6. So that's rewritten here in 2 Chronicles 7, which it doesn't make sense to me because it's supposed to be part of the prayer, but I don't know why. But basically, you know, it says God's response, I heard your prayer, you have chosen this and have chosen, and I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. That's different because in Solomon's account of this response from the Lord, it says this place you have built where my name will be honored forever. It doesn't mention anything about sacrifices in there. But it makes that distinction here in 2 Chronicles. So at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls or command grasshoppers to devour your crops or send plagues among you. That was in an earlier, you know, 1 Kings chapter 8. So I don't know. Anyways, okay. Then if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Now that scripture there seems repeated all throughout the Old Testament, doesn't it? I feel like I've heard that several times. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. So that in 2 Chronicles, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. That's cool. He's basically saying, remember Solomon asked, that was his big request when he dedicated the temple, was that all who pray, their prayers would be answered when they were in the temple, but not just that, but when they were even facing the temple or facing the holy city. So, and then the rest of 2 Chronicles mirrors very much 1 Kings 9. Then it talks about Solomon's agreement with Hiram. And apparently Solomon gate Hiram is the Pharaoh of Egypt at that time. And so apparently he gave Hiram 20 or so towns in the land of Galilee. And Hiram of Tyre was not pleased with these towns. I guess he probably wanted something more closer to the coast or something, but he wasn't happy with these towns. They were probably desecrated because Solomon ended up having to rebuild them. And then in 2 Chronicles 8, verse 2 says, Solomon turned his attention to rebuilding the towns that King Hiram had given him, and he settled Israelites in them. So King Hiram must have given the towns back at some point to Solomon. Solomon had married his daughter, and verse 11 says, or verse 10, King Solomon appointed, there was a little difference. Sorry, I'm kind of off track. King Solomon appointed 250 of them. It talked about his many achievements, all the towns that he rebuilt, and then it talks about how he assigned the duties. Now, there were still people, verse 7, there were still people living in the land who were not Israelites, including Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So these were the descendants of the nations whom the people of Israel had not destroyed. They were supposed to destroy everyone, remember? So those people shouldn't even be there. But these were the people that Solomon used as a labor force, and they are the ones that helped rebuild these cities and build the temple, serve in the labor force. This Solomon did not conscript. Okay. So they were the ones that did all the work, but he did not use the Israelites for this labor force. They got the good jobs. They got to be warriors, which was an honor. They served as fighting men, officers in his army, commanders of his chariots and charioteers. And it says King Saul in 2 Chronicles 8:10, King Solomon appointed 250 of them to supervise the people. Now this is a little different number than was given in 1 Kings chapter 9, because it said 550 of them. Solomon appointed 550 of them to supervise the people working on his various projects. So maybe 550, the difference, maybe the reason for the difference is that 550 was a bigger number for all the projects. Solomon appointed 550 of them to supervise the people working on his various projects. However, 250 of them were more specifically to work on the projects listed above, rebuilding the cities. I don't know. So that's not a big shock to me that those numbers are different. Verses 11 through 16 was very different in 2 Chronicles 8. So that was all added to the account, and that gave more detail about Pharaoh's daughter. Now remember, he married Pharaoh's daughter, and she's from Egypt. She does not have the same faith that Solomon does. And Solomon, you know, he's paying very much attention to following all the festivals and the offerings and the sacrifices and the Sabbaths and the new moon festivals. And it goes into great detail in 2 Chronicles about all these things specifically that he was very careful to do. However, he had a problem in the woman area because God was always very clear in the Old Testament back in, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, something like that, that they were not to marry, the Israelites were not to marry people that were not of the same faith. So they were not to marry from these Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, any of those people, and certainly not from anyone from Egypt. So Pharaoh's daughter had a different religion. She worshipped false gods. She was pagan. She worshipped idols. Not a lot of detail is given about that, but it says Solomon moved his wife, Pharaoh's daughter, from the city of David, which was Dave, I guess she was living in or around King David's palace, and that's a different place than the palace that Solomon built for himself. Solomon built his palace further north in the town of Jerusalem. He says he built a new palace for her. He said, "My wife must not live in King David's palace, for the ark of the Lord has been there, and it is holy ground." So he must know not only was that holy ground, but that her being there would be offensive to God because she worshiped pagan idols, right? So that's going to cause problems for Solomon in the future. So no matter how good or spiritual he, I'll just read this part from my study Bible because this was good. No matter how good or spiritual we are in most areas of life, one unsurrendered area can begin a downfall. Guard carefully every area of your life, especially your relationships. Don't give sin any foothold. So we found a weakness in Solomon's armor. We found, you know, he's a good man of God. He's going to do great things throughout his reign. but this is his Achilles heel for sure, is women and his marrying of women that are not of the same faith. Solomon becomes very well known as one of the greatest builders. He's a major architect in Israel's history. So he rebuilds these towns, the Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. And he builds them as fortress cities at key points during his reign. And he also rebuilt the cities of Lower Beth Horon, Baalath, and Tamar. So he tried to give those cities to Hiram. Hiram was like, no thanks. Must have been kind of like Chicago or something, or Philadelphia. No, thank you. I'll pass. They need to be rebuilt. So Solomon does that. He rebuilds the towns, and they become beautiful cities. Gezer especially seems to be one of note. And that one actually was originally a gift. Well, that was a wedding gift from Hiram. So I don't know who gave Gezer first. I don't know. Anyways. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I guess that's really it. Okay, so I guess the main points to remember is just that Solomon is rebuilding towns. He doesn't live in the same house as his wife for some reason, but he's going to get more wives, so hold on to that thought. And I don't really understand that. He moved his wife because that would be offensive to God, because she was living where the Ark of the Covenant had been in the palace, in King David's palace. So, yeah. And then also, sometimes we don't get an answer right away from God. He takes time before he answers us. We don't get an immediate response when we are, regardless of if we're asking for one, we expect one, it doesn't matter. He will respond at the right time, because only he knows the right time. So that's really it for today. My family and I, we are headed up north. We're going to go to Baltimore for to visit family. And my niece is having a baby, so we're going to have a baby shower for her. I'm very excited about that. So I think that I will probably post again this week, but I'm not sure. I may not get to it. It depends on how busy we are, how social we are, how full our calendar is. So I will if I can, but that's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.